So a question for you all. What is the biggest crowd that you have ever been a part of? What's the biggest crowd? Where were you? What were you doing that was the largest crowd that you've ever been a part of? Let's get a few answers. And online, you can put that in the chat. A rock concert, a protest, a demo. Well, anyone want to volunteer? Matt. The 2004 Red Sox victory parade. I watched on TV. We were in the suburbs for that. Excellent. From Woodstock. That would be a crowd. Say that again. A hockey game was large. Sharon? I can only imagine. So when I was a kid growing up in Cleveland, we used to go to the 80,000 seat municipal stadium to watch the Cleveland then Indians play. There were only 3,000 people actually in the stadium, but it sat 80,000. How does it feel to be in, we had answers online. The inauguration of Barack Obama in 2009, the 1971 protest against the Vietnam War, the Super Bowl, and the 2016 March, Women's March in DC. Yeah, you all, I've got to say, living in the DC area have a lot more opportunity for that than. When we're in a large crowd, right, sometimes we can feel small and insignificant, or maybe small and mighty with the whole, but surely it's possible to be overwhelmed by the numbers and the crowds and everybody all together. Well, in our Torah portion this week, we have the record of a gigantic gathering. As Tyler and Aubrey are going to teach us tomorrow morning, portion this week is called Bamidbar, the very beginning of the book of Numbers. It's the start of the Israelites' second year after they left Egypt. They got out of Egypt, they've been wandering around. This is the start of year two. And God tells Moses to take a census of everybody who's there. They count. Actually, they do this a couple of times throughout the book. So it's actually part of why the book is called the book of Numbers, right? The Torah diligently records tribe by tribe all of the males ages 20 and older. Most likely they're looking for the fighting age because they're going to have to fight, have confrontations with others as they wander their way through. They needed an army. And the total that we get of all of the men 20 age and up is 603,550. I don't know about you, but I think that's bigger than Woodstock or a protest parade, but pretty large. And again, that was just the men over age 20. So we're talking a really large number, right? Now, we can argue about how accurate the count may have been, and maybe the biblical numbers don't really mean what we mean by numbers today, one way or another. 603,550 people is a large crowd, probably the biggest crowd that we all were ever a part of. Torah portion also records exactly where, when they stopped to make camp, where each tribe would be, which tribes were on the north or the south or the east or the west, the Mishkan, the portable sanctuary in the middle. Each tribe had a designated piece of territory, a section reserved just for them and for their clans. And the Torah actually uses this curious phrase, ish al diglo. Ish al diglo, each person, each person, al diglo, by his degel, by his flag or standard. It probably means that each person or family camped with their tribe, clan by clan by clan, and each tribe probably had a standard or a banner in order to designate their area, right? 12 tribes, they each had a signpost to show where their territory in the camp was, kind of like the parking signs at Disney World, right? Or at any of the sports stadiums, so that you know where your car is. This way you would know where your tribe was parked. But the Hebrew actually allows for the interpretation, the possibility that each individual person had their own flag, ish al diglo. That's at least 603,550 flags. That's a lot of flags, right? Now, what is the lesson that we can learn from this? Why would it matter that if we understand that interpretation that each person had their own flag, 603,000 plus of them? Well, The thought may be, among some of our commentators, that the flag isn't a physical flag. It isn't an actual banner or a sign of distinction, but rather it's a way of understanding that each person is unique and deserving of their own flag. Everybody has their own flag. Our Hasidic master, Beit Aharon, reminds us, each person should know that they are unique in the world. There has never been another like you. Because if there was another person like you, then there would have been no need for you to exist. Each person is an utterly new thing in creation. Each person needs to realize this uniqueness and their own piece of Torah, which depends upon their soul and whereby the world will be redeemed. The Beit Aharon is telling us, right? Each one of us is unique, because if we were like anybody else, there wouldn't be any need for us. I like this image of we each have our own flag, right? We each have our own uniqueness, our own specialness, our own something that no one else brings to this world. Even when we are part of a large crowd, even when we may feel small or insignificant, even when we may just feel like a small part in the larger workings of the world, we each have our own flag and our own distinctiveness that no one else has. And we help shape personally what that is. And ultimately, did you catch the end of Beit Aharon's teaching? Ultimately, that uniqueness helps bring about redemption. Well, I have to say this teaching feels particularly poignant to me this week when the states of Texas and Florida have enacted such repugnant legislation that attacks and vilifies members of the LGBTQ plus community just for being who they uniquely and distinctly are. These awful pieces of legislation are going to severely impact their lives, especially the lives of transgender kids. It's just one of a part, unfortunately, this year of what we have seen in state legislature after state legislature, nearly 500 bills of anti-LGBTQ legislation have been introduced, each attacking folks for who they are. Many of them specifically target young people, prohibiting gender-affirming medical care, or restricting transgender participation in school athletics, or prohibiting a student's choice of their own name and their pronouns, or censoring books in school libraries, or censoring curricula that affirm LGBTQ people, trying to erase people as if they could be erased from the scope of human history, and eliminating school as a safe place for our kids to nurture their own unique selves. We are compelled by our tradition to speak out for the inherent dignity of each person and the worth of each human being, Ish al diglo. The Reform Movement recently joined with 90 other Jewish organizations in a letter to Congress condemning such actions as those legislations. And in a statement that the Reform Movement issued just yesterday, the leaders of all of the branches of all the various Reform Movement institutions reminded us Jewish tradition has many different gendered attributes of God. And over the centuries, the Jewish legal codes and our Torah and rabbinic commentators have recognized at least 6 different sexes and gender identities. This is not something foreign to Judaism. It's been part of our tradition, our history, our past. In 2015, the Union for Reform Judaism and the Central Conference of American Rabbis adopted resolutions affirming the rights of transgender and gender expansive people, farthest reaching statement of any religious denomination at that time. And just this year, the CCAR passed new resolutions on advocating for transgender people. So to all in, silly me, I thought I'd make it. But this is the important part. To everybody in the LGBTQ plus community, in Texas, in Florida, across the country, in our Jewish community, in our TBS congregation, around the world and beyond, we see you. We see you in your individualness. We see you in your uniqueness. Stand by your flag. We'll stand with you. It is only in seeing the other. It is only in seeing and recognizing the uniqueness of each other and in our own specialness and uniqueness. Only when we do that do we bring about repair and redemption. So we reject the horrific legislation. We reject the hatred that is out there, and we replace it with love and with respect, with seeing people and recognizing and celebrating them for who they are. We each stand with our own flag, each one of us unique and special and different. And when we do that and we contribute our Torah to the world, our specialness and what makes us us, then and only then can we truly bring about redemption. With God's help, we pray, we will always be able to recognize our own uniqueness and that of each and every person in the world. Together we say, amen.